Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, April 13th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there.
Glad you're with me today. Also, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Monday the 13th.
Yeah, is it bad luck today too? I don't know. It's hard to tell. Andrew, actually, I want to start with you and an article that you wrote up about one of those things that just sort of reminds you that in the year of our Lord 2020, all bets are off. Apple and Google are teaming up.
I think this announcement came out Friday. Mm-hmm. So Apple made an announcement. They're partnering with Google on something called contact tracing.
Okay.
And this is another like gun in the fight against the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So basically, contact tracing is just, it's a process of trying to identify people who may have come in contact with an infected person. And so they do this by, there are two aspects to what Apple and Google are doing.
Okay.
So the first is that in May, we are going to get, and they're going to release APIs that will let Apple and Android devices work together to use these apps that will be created by public health authorities, like mm-hmm. Charlotte will talk about later. And then the second part, this, they just say in the coming months, they're going to create this sort of bigger Bluetooth-based platform that will like build this functionality into the operating systems as a whole, like just bake it in there.
Okay.
And so here's what it means. So basically, it's opt-in, of course. So before I start, I just want to put that up here. It's opt-in.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Apple is pretty good on privacy. And so once a app is created by a government health authority and you download it and you opt-in, what will happen is if you tell the app that you have been diagnosed with COVID-19 and you like come in contact with a person, like, I don't know the proximity of it. Let's just assume, you know, closer than 6 feet.
Right. Well, at least close enough for Bluetooth to have decided that there was another phone in the vicinity. So maybe in the same room. Yeah.
And so if another person has opted into this, what will happen is that their two phones will talk to each other. The infected person's phone will kind of warn and alert the other person's phone, and they will get some kind of notification in their app that says, hey, you may have come close to an infected person. Maybe you should get checked out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically what it is. So API first, API and government apps first, and then we'll probably see this baked into either an iOS 13 point update or maybe iOS 14.
Okay.
I guess it just depends, you know, on how easy or hard it is to bake it in.
Sure. And this may also end up being part of, we talked about Apple having resources available for folks as well. As they have an app as like to start with the screening process and things. So maybe this is something that they're just going to update on their end, because that would be sort of an explicit opt-in. Like, I've gone out and downloaded this app from Apple on my iPhone. And additionally, like, now that I have that app, I can also maybe tell it that I want to use the contact screening feature or contact tracing feature. And for the record, like, this is not your phone contacts. This is not everyone in your address book gets spammed with an email that says that you have tested positive for coronavirus or COVID-19 or anything like that. That's not what's happening. So it's literally solid contact. Like, this phone has been
physical
in the vicinity
contact
of these other phones. Yeah. For whatever value that could be. I mean, sometimes, you know, Bluetooth is a little further than anticipated, I would say. If I left my phone on the charger and was listening to AirPods and walked off and forgot about my phone counts for anything, that can be pretty far. So
I think the range for current Bluetooth is, what, around 30 feet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Obviously, those are the type of things that would be tailored. I think Andrew's point, though, laying out that these are two separate stages, is the really important one.
Yes.
Because we in the UK, over the weekend, it emerged that the government, not surprisingly, is working with Apple and Google on one of these apps. Now, that's fine and that's great. But, you know, the idea, without, you know, sticking to the Apple side, these are not kind of silver bullet things, right? The
Certainly.
API won't exist. The API won't exist till May. The, you know, really baked in operating system level technology might not be around for months.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know, governments and things start talking about that, we need to follow the timeline and also be aware of the two different stages, I think. That's yes. really important. But yes, apparently the NHS, National Health Service technology arm, which is called NHSX, is working to develop one of the apps Andrew described.
Cool. I think this is the kind of thing that could be very helpful, particularly as situations change and there are people who do end up out in public in some way, you know, depending on whatever the situation is. And particularly, like, if you're a healthcare worker, you could come into contact with lots of other people, or if you work in a restaurant or some of those other essential positions, it would be super handy to have that kind of technology available, because, like, it's really a question of just making people aware. This doesn't have anything to do with,
yeah,
you know,
there's a couple of different elements away from the pure technology of it, because obviously companies of Google and Apple's caliber will be able to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew hinted at it, and I think it's right that there are inevitably going to be some privacy and security and civil liberties issues around this, and you have to hope that the experts in the tech firms and also in the public sector are working together consciously to deal with that. You also, of course, a lot of it also depends on uptake, right?
I think exactly.
In the UK, the report over the weekend that was talking about, to be of any use, it needed about a 60% usage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of caveats to this, but I actually spoke about this on Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner. It's another illustration, actually, of Apple and other technology firms kind of stepping up into this and trying to either plug some gaps, help out, whichever way you want to look at it. And I think it's an interesting way for kind of the way these type of things develop. And, you know, would I trust Apple to deal with this stuff? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably is they probably are a useful company. And clearly you need something of the data and scalability that Google has, you know, right. You need that. It's good that there's a combination of the two, right?
Yep.
Not least because there are more Android phones in the world than iPhones.
Correct.
let's be blunt about it. That's as important a reason as anything else.
Right. And for me, and I don't know, Andrew, if this is possibly similar to your stance as well, since I've ever spoken to you about security. I don't really feel too uncomfortable opting into this with Apple. If Apple said, we have this app and your iPhone can see if there's an iPhone in the vicinity, and then if you test positive, like, go hit this little button in the app, and then, like, the phones that have been in the vicinity of your phone will light up with, like, someone in who was ever in the vicinity of your phone test positive or whatever, because I believe Apple isn't going to do anything nefarious with that data, because that's not Apple's business model. However, Google does not hold that view. So I know that this is the kind of thing that, like, they should be doing for the right reasons and all of that, but I still just have this sort of knee-jerk, like, I'm not 100% okay with handing all this over to Google. How about you?
I mean, when I first saw people calling on Apple to implement this kind of thing, that was like a little red alert for me. I mean, you guys know how I am. I'm not super paranoid, but I am a little, but with good reason. I write a lot about, you know, surveillance, whether it's from companies or
yeah.
the government.
Exactly.
But once I actually read about it, researched it, and understood what exactly is going on. I think I am pretty okay with it, at least at this beginning stage.
Okay.
I think that's yeah.
Like we made that distinction before, it's not your contact list. Like, right. It's not going to automatically warn everyone in your contact list. It's just people when you're going out in public and you're near people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think Andrew's right to discuss this as the beginning stage. I think almost everyone in the world at this point will be quite happy to make those, you know, they are privacy sacrifices. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. It's something I've been thinking about a lot recently. They're privacy and civil liberty, you know, compromises we're making.
Yes.
I suspect people are prepared to do that for, you know, with companies that they trust, working in tandem with the government for a short time. What I think probably the companies need to discuss as well is how they can roll this back afterwards, particularly in that second stage of it being, you know, more baked into the operating system.
Mm-hmm. And not just baked but in, but how cleanly you can in it, you can turn that on and off. So like if you want it on for a while and then switch it.
Let's also not have like too many delusions about the reality, right? We all use Find My Phone and Find My Friends and all sorts of other things day in, day out, I'm sure.
Yes.
So, which are, you know, perhaps less, you could argue, less beneficial to society than something like this. So, as ever, these are all, no, but all these things are always trade-offs. I totally yes. get it. You know, we've discussed it kind of in the context of Zoom. There are security issues with mm-hmm. Zoom, but it's also helping people be able to stick together. So
yes,
it's all trade-offs. Fine. But I think we're right to ask questions about how this technology is used, how it comes into being. I also, like, I think we have to be honest about the reality of what we already do and now and the data available is on us now.
Yeah. Well, and I think to kind of go hand in hand with that, I mean, that goes back to what I was saying before about Apple. Like, my Find My Friend information is between me and Apple, and who it's shared with is between me and that person, whoever that is, right? And so, like, I have to stop and think about, like, does that person get to have, I mean, it's a lot less relevant anymore because my dot doesn't move, but in the before times, you know, does that person... Is that person entitled to know all of the places that I'm going? And is it okay with me that they can go look at any point and see where I am? And I think if Apple is the only one in that mix, you know, if Apple is the only tech company that gets hold of that information, I feel a lot less icky about it than like if I had an Android tablet, for example, and set everything up on that Android tablet. If there was some Find My Friend equivalent on that Android device that I was using, I would never, ever, ever turn it on, ever. I would just be like, if you need to know that badly, I will text you. I'm leaving to go to the store or whatever. And that's all you get to know.
And that's just the tech side. So now we'll right. have to keep an eye on the government and making sure that this technology has protections in place so that data, whatever it may be, yes. can't be misused down the road.
Yeah, there's going to have to be, and very quickly, and I suspect this kind of work is happening, work on both the public and private side mm-hmm. to, you know, to prove that this data is correct, but equally... you know, overhyping the risks mm-hmm. and, you know, you don't want to deter people using this data. It's using these risks and using these apps so that we can move forward in the world as well. Like there has to be, I think the way to do it is for companies like Apple, like Google to be very honest about this process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, you joked at the beginning, it's kind of the end times because Apple and Google are working together. And that is kind of interesting. And perhaps, you know, what the influence of Apple will be a who, you know, there are issues. Let's not pretend Apple is some super perfect privacy protecting company. That there are issues. We've discussed them. Andrew's written about them plenty of times. But let's... Also, we also know that Apple is considerably better with user data than Google, say.
Right. Because it's not their business model. Like, Apple doesn't gain anything by having all that information about you. That's not where they make their money. The end.
So let's hope the kind of collaboration between the two, you know, works to improving the practices of Google, not the other way around.
Sure. I think, Charlotte, you might... go ahead, Andrew.
Speaking of transparency, them being open with what they're doing, we do have that. So as part of this announcement, they did link to technical documentation, and this is where they share what they're doing, like what kind of Bluetooth specification they're using.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Also, what kind of cryptography they're using, and sharing the framework API around this. So that is a very good step.
Yeah,
that's very important. Now, it's important for people like us who, you know, have the luxury of spending our time worrying about this stuff. It's also, you also have to make sure that while we're discussing it, we're not, making sure stuff is safe, that we're not putting off people using these apps.
Right.
As well.
Well, and I think, you know, Charlotte, you brought up the government piece of it. And I think that that's going to be a conversation that is accelerated in your neck of the woods, since NHS, your health system, is a government agency, or at least has a very cozy government relationship.
No, it's a public. It's public. It's funded through general taxation. The NHS is an arm of the state funded.
Yeah.
And that's what, and so, and NHSX is the technology arm of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I think there will be that conversation, but.
Well, I think it's going to happen there a lot sooner than it happens here, for example.
Probably. I think probably, because, you know, the quote from the Sunday Times story about this is that the development is happening at breakneck speed.
Yeah.
Now, that's very interesting. We don't quite know what that means, given that actually, the API isn't even going to be available till May.
Right.
Now, so. I appreciate that's kind of, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
Just under?
About 2 weeks,
Just over?
So, I think the government involvement in it and the how hard the lines are drawn between opting in and opting out. So, like, if I did opt in for a while and I'm not, and I'm opting out now, what does that mean for the data I left behind? Is it cleared? Do they continue to use it for statistical purposes or what? And, like, those kinds of questions, I think, are going to end up coming up. And I hope that they are asked sooner than later. And I think they're going to be asked where you are much sooner than they will be asked here.
I suspect that's right. I also suspect it's more important in 6 months' time than 6 weeks' time.
Absolutely. That too.
If you, like, in whatever, however many weeks' time, they have to prove that it's safe and no one's going to, no one can find out you've left your house and rob it kind of job.
Right.
You know, because it's following you. But equally, in 6 months' time, and hopefully the world is slightly reset,
Fingers crossed. You
have to hope that there's actually a sensible way to turn it off, that data is held securely somewhere, and carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will find out more about this as the situation develops, I think is how they say that. But definitely, like, as apps become available, as we can find out more about the framework, to find out more about the security, we will absolutely talk to Andrew about it and to see how the apps in practical use end up being deployed, particularly where you are, Charlotte. We will definitely do what we can to find out more.
If I get it anytime soon, I'll let you know.
Excellent. All right. Thank you both for being here today. Charlotte, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And Andrew, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.